Right, so it's Red News Podcast 44, and we're in the pub in town before we play West Ham, and I'm joined with badminton bastard Nick, who's played again this morning. Just...
I'm one.
Don't care. On a low roof, he's just said a Nathan. Just walked through Piccadilly Gardens. That's an odd place these days, isn't it? Really odd.
It's grim.
And I don't just mean the Spice Kids, it's just...
It's full of Manchester's finest.
No, it's just full of... It's like a drugged up speaker's corner, really. That's the only thing I can call it. Right, before Nathan had a point, and I apologise for this, I'm going on one of my tangents, but that's what I do because the way my brain works. So I'm going to get to Nathan's point about Ollie getting the job early that he was going to refer to a couple of weeks ago. But I will say on a quick tangent, Julian Assange had his worst... He put the beard movement back years with that fucking monstrosity when he got nicked. Now, he's been thrown out for... this is it. So he's been thrown out because one of the papers put it as his cleanliness. So basically, he's shat the bed, hasn't he? You know, like, how can you get... But it made me think, the Ecuadorian president looked really unhappy, saying the way he's behaved. But I thought... Valencia looks really unhappy, so that might just be like the standard look.
The way that Ecuadorians are.
So they might, but it also brought me back to when we were travelling in the 80s, we had a lad who travelled with us who shat the bed twice, so his nickname was Shit the Bed.
Gotcha.
For his birthday, we all got a card and addressed it to Mr. Shit the Bed, and the postman delivered it. You couldn't get away with either that nickname or sending that post through the... a letter through the post now. Right, so we are on. So Nathan, your point, Ollie getting the job early, not at the end of the season.
Obviously I'm all for, like, and I hope that it works out, obviously, and like he started off amazing, like better than any of us could have thought, but I was happy when he was given it, but part of me is just like, well, he wasn't going to go anywhere. And like I said this like the day that the game that he got the job, didn't I? But it's like, it's not going to go anywhere. And just wait. I don't see, other than obviously he needs to, you know, start planning for summer transfers and stuff. I understand that. But I just feel like just keep it. He could still. I'm sure he'd still want to do that without having. He's not going to say no.
Yeah.
Like, just wait until the end of the season. He's not going anywhere.
But doesn't it tell the players that, look, this is the boss now, so you can't be half-arsed? And wasn't a dip inevitable anyway? We're just, you know, we were expecting too much.
I'm not saying, like, I just don't see why they did it then. Like, and coincidentally, we seem to have had a dip since this happened. And like, obviously, you know, we weren't going to win every single game for the rest of the season, but we've got a massive month or so to go, and it's like, it just feels like get that over with this momentum.
I can see that, but I don't think it caused the dip. I just think we were over expecting on players who are consistently inconsistent.
Yeah,
he's demanded more than they can give.
If he can do it, then I'm totally all for it, and I'm not questioning there wasn't a reason to do it that early when, you know, like obviously Barcelona, we're going to talk about it later, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Yeah. In terms of it only being 1-0, but you know, we couldn't, you know, if we got smashed over those two legs and then don't get fourth place, and then they're trapped in that.
Yeah,
giving him a 3-year contract now,
but I mean, that's there anyway, because I've seen today, you know, we could be our worst run in 27 years suddenly. I mean, the clamour to just pick up on anything, it was the best run in, you know, like there's just someone constantly scouting every result to see whether it.
That's the thing when you're Man United, though. It's what's going to happen, isn't it? You know, you get away with it if you're Leicester or something like that, don't you? But you don't get away with it.
Yeah, but doesn't this come back to what we were saying the other? We've got to get away from that. We've got to have more patience where we're not joining in with that, because otherwise we're going to just fucking end in a constant loop of he lasts a year. Oh, we're here. You've got to see a man, you know, unless things go catastrophically wrong, he's producing some food here. What's this?
Jamaican
patty.
And that couldn't wait.
While he opens the Jamaican patty, I will say, here's the thing for you. Probably stolen off someone, but it was got asked on the other night. And you two can't answer because we've done this, but get your notepads out, people. 8 players have played for Barcelona and United. Now, while during this podcast, can you think of the 8? Some are simple, some are hard. And maybe the easiest to get is the hardest to get. Now, right, so, Nathan, well, what did you weren't on it on Wednesday. What did you think?
I think, obviously, I'm sure it will have been said already, but McTominay and Fred were brilliant. I think defensively, like, we did really well. I think we were obviously unlucky to concede the goal that we did. And admittedly, Barca weren't out of, like, first or second gear. Like, you could tell that they've obviously got a lot more to give than they gave the other night, but there was just nothing going forward. And, like, I actually, 20 minutes into the game, it felt like Lukaku had a single touch of the ball. And I know that he came into it a bit later on, but you need that, especially in these big games. You need to start off strong and be attacking it. It's like, as soon as we brought Martial on, he was having runs at their defence and was causing a few troubles. And it's like, you need to be doing that, especially against the likes of Barcelona. You need to be doing that for 90 minutes, especially at home. I heard that we didn't have a single shot on target.
But we did more than your Bentleys, which encouraged me.
Yeah, and more isn't. Like, that's what I'm saying. Hopefully, we'll have a ticket.
Well, someone put it, you know, like, our standards have dropped so much. You lose 1-0, you don't have a shot on target. But again, it's not taking accommodating where we are. We cannot. You cannot go from where we are to title winning, and you could fluke a European Cup. That's been done before. But again, I'll hit you with some. The research is back on. Barcelona's season in the league at home is 1-12, drawn 3, lost 1. They've scored 46 and they've let in 16. Encouraging, they have let an average of a goal a game. So we have a chance. The one defeat was a 3-4 defeat to Betis. Betis caused them trouble in both games, so study what they've done back in November. Their Champions League results are 4-0 at home to PSV, 2-0 Inter, 1-0 Spurs and 5-1 Lyon. They did Chelsea 3-0 last season, Roma 4-1, and their last defeat...
Well, they lost to Roma overall.
Yeah, and that was a staggering... Their last Champions League defeat at home, sorry people, is May the 1st, 2013, at home to Bayern.
And that was a hell of a performance.
6 years ago when they battered them.
They absolutely played much apart.
How do we, or do we just say, you know... Just hope for the best, take the punt. But I'd go for pace. Lingard, Martial, and Rashford up front.
Yeah, God, yeah. The thing is with Barcelona, the way to beat them is by being clinical. It sounds so simple, but, you know, we still had a few chances the other night, but if you're more clinical, you know, you get a bit of luck. You look at that chance that Martial gets through one-on-one. Another day, that might go in. You need a bit of luck, definitely. You definitely need a bit of luck, and we've had luck at the new camp before now. I'm sure we can have it again.
Well, there's fingers crossed that you both might be sorted in their end or sorting it, which would be fucking lovely.
Apparently you've got I say the away fans, apparently next to our fans. So.
You've got to experience it. Their ground is immense. Well, and in their end is, as long as you don't, you know. So it's exciting, aren't you? You're buzzing.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah?
You can't wait. You've got to go there and got to believe. And think, like you say, if you go there with pace, if you're solid at the back and you take it, if you get a chance, you have to take it.
We need to score the first one early, and then
We can hold. You can almost do it in reverse. You know, about 15 minutes to go at 0-0.
Yeah.
I'd take that.
Oh God!
Now,
yeah.
Thinking because that might just. But it might. They're so relentless. We could be 3-0 down at half time. That nothing surprises me. But I had no fucking hope against PSG, especially when I saw the team. No chance.
We had no hope against Juventus or anything.
Yeah. But that group stage is always a little bit... Because you can afford...
We're gonna concede next week, aren't we? Let's be honest, you know, we've conceded pretty much every game that we play this season. We're going to concede, so we're going to need to go to the new camp and score at least two.
Here's a couple of people on the Red News Forum. I'll quote you. Chubby put... We had too many average players given below average performances. We looked tired and leggy. Is it any surprise after five seasons of hardly breaking into sweat, the players having to work extremely hard now? I think the glut of injuries we had impacts our recent momentum, but at the same time, our players weren't fit enough before, or hard enough to a more direct way of playing at a higher tempo. I'd like to see us go back to playing with speed and intensity with a high press. Then we've half a chance even with a bang average squad. There is little point in picking holes in Ollie's approach so far. He's been largely right in tactics and approach. What some are expecting him is to polish a turd, but, and we are a turd, when they should be happy enough that he's managed to roll said turd in glitter, if only for a short while. Well, that's fair enough, isn't it?
It's pretty well summed up.
I agree about the fitness thing. I think we said that early on, didn't we, about, was it, what game was it where we just, everyone got injured?
Yeah.
Liverpool.
And it was, and I feel like, especially since how many of our squad, quite a few would have been in the last stages of the World Cup as well. You know, it's been a long...
Yeah.
So,
well, we've said that before. Tony Streetwick said there'd yeah. be a lot of injuries. And there have been a lot of World Cup players.
And I know that other teams have got that same, but the fact that we've gone from such a slow, negative football to now, well, trying to be a bit more attacking, obviously that's not happened like some of the games, but I think that's always going to happen. But next year, hopefully, when you've got a longer run of knowing that's how you play, and then it'll...
Well, what did you think of Ollie yesterday? Have you seen it? In saying survival of the fittest, survival of the best. I thought, I mean, Duncan Castles has said, well, the man who was saying this is a great world-class squad in December is now being a U-turn, but I think what he's doing is giving the players enough rope to hang themselves the ones, and I like it, because we should be brutal. We should. He already hit Fellaini and Valencia. You would hope, you know, I've got no problems with Young staying next season as long as he doesn't play 40 games. He's shown you that's too, you know,
that's too much.
It's too much.
He's fine. He's a squad player. The problem is, though, with our squad is that it's full of squad players. That's the problem with it, isn't it? Everyone is a squad player. And, you know, he got Herrera, Mata. You know, he got loads of players in there that are just squad players.
But we can't get rid of, again, it goes back to the endless loop of we can't get rid of 10 players this summer unless there's a, you know, huge turnaround. So we are going to see Jones and Smalling and Lindelof. We might not see Bally.
They've signed contracts, haven't they? So...
What did you see? It's got to be the biggest April Fools ever. We might sign off a Matt Ayodami in a 4-year contract. But whichever journalist came up with that has got to be on fucking acid. We're on the pitch if he plays today, aren't we?
Oh, yeah,
we might see Matt Ayodami again.
I kind of hope so.
Fucking hell.
Why not?
Why?
Well, who else have we got that we're going to play? I want Dalot to be rested for Barcelona.
Yeah, but isn't there a way this is the more important game? We've got to win today.
I don't think there's any more important game than the Champions League for me.
No,
I
but in terms of...
I know what you mean. But
I'm getting caught in this top four cup. You know, like...
Well, we have to be, don't we? We want to be back in it next year. We don't want to be going away to...
Yeah, but and to keep our best players. But isn't the problem our best players, the ones we're thinking are staying, and it's just, like, you know, Pogba, the enigma. I listen back to the last one. God help listening to my voice again, but it's... We're on a constant about Pogba. And it always leads back to the same place. We know he's got it, but we don't see it often enough. But I was in it. We were out with Jamie Scowcroft, the ex-player, for a couple after Wednesday. And he said, put him in a top-quality team, and he would shine every single week.
Yeah.
Which is why he did it on World Cup. But what he's left with...
Why did it at Juventus?
But didn't we sign him? I don't know, you know. Wasn't he the man to turn us around?
Right,
we could have a row here, so put your glasses down.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the words. And Herrera.
Right.
Go on.
Is that right?
No, but him demanding... Whatever it is he's demanded.
I like your point when you said I thought he'd play for free. Loves the game that much. He gets the club, thought he'd play for free. Thought he'd be grateful that he should be at Man United. And if what you read's true, it's a shame.
But isn't he just doing what people would do? What would you do if you were offered double your wages down the road?
It's very different if someone paid to offer me my wages. But if I'm a footballer and I'm on 150 grand a week, There's no difference between 150 grand a week and 300 grand a week to me. It's still an obscene amount of money where you don't need to work again.
Well, if you've got that much, you probably live in a world where that is that much, because you can buy a double house or whatever. We said, Steve Bruce, when he joined us, because it was a delayed transfer. He said I'd walk over broken glass to get to Old Trafford, and he probably would have, but but those days are gone. So we look to our heroes who.
Yeah, I think if those days go, the more you sign foreign players who, necessarily don't get the club as much.
What do you think? He's getting absolutely slated now. Yeah.
Some of it's unfair, he's not even gone yet, but Ollie's inference
that he's not fit because of the PSG is fucking damning.
Yeah.
For Ollie to say that, he usually gives him hugs every opportunity. It must be something that's gone fucking...
There's got to be something to it, because the rumours are too extreme, aren't they, really? Would it be a shame to see him go? I wouldn't say it was a shame, but we need a better player than what
it'd be a shame.
Yeah, but
we could get
player for 200
but I think
grand.
That's what I mean. So I think it'd be a shame to see him go, because he's always given his all for the club and everything. But in terms of quality, we should have better in that position anyway. And for the money that he would now want, apparently.
But this is all from the Sanchez thing, and we're leaving contracts too late anyway. We shouldn't. At the start of the season, wasn't it? 8 players, a third of the squad had their contracts running out. It's fucking. What do they do?
It's
turning into Arsenal. That's the Arsenal.
Well, in our outlook, unfortunately.
In terms of Ferreira.
But you used to love him.
I did? There's so many games though with Ferreira where he's been pulled off early. When you need a goal, he's always the player that sacrificed him. I always think as a Spanish midfielder, I don't know, maybe because I'm used to seeing people like David Silva or something, more of a goal scorer, more of a pushing forward with it. And it's just not.
But this is just goes throughout the squad. Mata, Lukaku, they're not doing what the other top quality, Silva, Aguero, Sterling. You get a chance, you take it. Goes back to the Benzema. I know I'm looking at the world-class players, but that's where we're supposed to be. That's where we need to be. You get a chance, you fucking put it away. You create something out of nothing. We're so lacking that visionary player.
That cutting edge, and that's obviously what you can see when we went back to the top level. So on Wednesday, when you play Juventus, when you play PSG, you play Barcelona, you don't score at home. You need a cutting edge.
I woke up the next morning thinking, via trying to wake up Shane 50 times. To wake up, you've got to go to work. It was buying Amaretto shots at 2 o'clock in the morning. But I didn't wake up this morning. I'm not gloomy about Ollie, but there's a little woodpecker tapping away going, the Glazers will fuck this all up in the summer. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get giddy. Don't get excited. Because what the club are on at the moment, and as I was trying, did you see my appearance on Keys and Grey?
I was gonna mention that.
To be fair, I did one, but I weighed it up. Not just for years I turned all this shit down, and as someone said, I've said it before. He said, but everyone else is doing it, just do it. And then I thought I can get mentions. They said nothing was off the table, so I could criticise the Glazers to a whole area of people who don't hear that view. But the bizarre thing is, you don't see them, they see you.
Yeah.
So all I had, my view, was a fire extinguisher in the producer's office. So you're just looking at that. I had to cut out. My wife said, don't call him Hairy Hands as an intro. He went, all right, Hairy Hands, how you doing?
I feel like everything you said was fair, though. And I feel like...
But that would be, you'd have more opportunity as someone like Woodward listening to that going, and it's the ground, it's the squad.
Well, I feel like the lack of investment in the ground is just a microcosm of the whole club in general, isn't it?
You were really impressed that you used that.
I was impressed that he used that.
I think that guy from over there.
You won't be saying that at 11 o'clock tonight.
No, but I think it is. It's just like Oh, it's not lack of investment. It's like, obviously we've spent a lot of money on the stadium and it's looking shiny. Like, for it, like,
but that's the haves and haves not. As I say, those windows, pretty windows, that's not the Old Trafford I see.
They've put the money in to make it look shiny, but the core of it is going to shit. And yeah, you could say that's the same with the squad. We spent all that money on the likes of
Sanchez. I don't mind where we are in Clay. I like that. That's my home. That's where I've sat for 30 years. Yeah. But the Old Trafford now is not... When you have kids and they're obsessed with the modern age and the modern world, they aren't going to want that Old Trafford. They're going to want things shiny, bright, screens, and we're getting left behind. But I just think all we fucking do, like replicating Twitter and online, is moan. We come on here and we fucking moan. Surely we've got things to be
really
excited about.
Sort of but that's... I've learned a new word, so I feel better.
You've never heard microcosm?
No, I have. I couldn't define it for you. I could use it in a sentence.
No, I mean, maybe that's the default thing because we're picking out points. But I was excited for today, yesterday. I still, only the Jose, the Van Gaal era at the end and Jose from November to December have I felt glued. I always look forward about going to a game here. Even if we're not going to... Seeing everyone, seeing you lot...
I like that side of things. I'm looking forward to today, also. I'm hoping it's going to be a nice, comfortable...
It won't be comfortable.
Comfortable game.
It won't be comfortable.
I'm hoping we're due a comfortable game, Barney. I want to be confident. I'm going to say 2-0.
We've only won 2 out of 8 against them.
Sodom. That doesn't matter. Class is permanent.
What's he going to do... with regards to Tuesday?
Well, this is you can't rotate tonight, you can't rest. You just got to go. You just got to think my best 11 today, and then my best 11. As I say, play Lukaku today, and say, go on. The onus is on you. You had a stinker the other night. Okay. You think you're great?
Earn your start and on Tuesday. Yeah.
You know, he's had four games, duff games, duff, average, okay.
You see all the people that were rating him 1 out of 10 on Wednesday night?
No, that's not fair.
It's ridiculous, that.
What, Pogba?
Pogba 1 out of 10 on Wednesday night. Him and Young got 1 out of 10.
But then Young got abused on Twitter, you know. You just think...
You've got a lot of time for Ashley.
Darren Gibson got hounded off Twitter. He's like, fucking hell.
I think he was poor at times. There was times
where... Young was terrible.
Like, crossing, like...
But that was just...
We should have had so many more opportunities because he was in a position to put a good cross. And they were wasting.
But you shouldn't get your frustration. We know this. It's not anything new. And then to call him, like, a cunt on Twitter. It's just like... It's just fucking mad. The whole world is properly bonkers.
Especially when he does get united as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's a class act off the pitch.
Yes.
Isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's...
I'm biased because I know a few things he's done, but that doesn't make you. He'd accept. He wouldn't go in that dressing room, as we said.
Thinking that I've done well.
Yeah. He will go, I've been shit, lads, today, and it's just not been. Whether he's knackered, even though we had the international break.
The thing is, though, for him, I reckon all of us are starting next week. Not because we've not really got an option, but even if
he'll trust him, he'll still trust him, and trust his.
He can be reliable in that role at times.
Well, I think he was fine. I don't really remember him
getting caught
doing anything bad defensive. Like, maybe I'm wrong, but I've not really watched it back.
Shaw gets caught out more, even though
he gets caught out though because Dallow gets taken off. That's the reason why Shaw was getting, because he got caught out 3 times.
We look badly out of shape. Right, have you got so the answer to the 8 is Jordi Cruyff, Zlatan, Pique, Hughes, Victor Valdes, that was a struggle, that one. Larry White, that I totally didn't know, or I'd forgotten he played. Henrik Larsson, and the one that you forget, or I forgot, was Alexis Sanchez. But that's maybe because he's just...
Shite.
Is he there?
Shite.
Is he...
But I think...
It says a lot that Matthew Adamian might be a
more worrying thing about the Sanchez thing is not that he's shit and he's not really played, is that it's opened the floodgates for... issues money-wise with everyone else.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that... And
this
is
why...
We're going to get rid of him. Because where is he? We're going to have to pay off both of his wage anyway.
I think he'll go... what should happen, I think, is go on loan and you cut half the wages that we're paying or something. Just get him out of... Just get him away. You know, he's not... He's a... pretty poisonous character in terms of he doesn't get on with people. He's a smart ass. He always has. Because there's no benefits. We're not going to see a turnaround. That doesn't happen.
I think that's too far gone now. I don't think we see what we saw with Sanchez anymore.
Dostaveta, por favor.
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
Si.
Me gusta patatas bravas.
Are you speaking Catalan or Castilian Spanish?
Here we go. Fucking someone's missus can speak the language.
She can't speak Catalan, though.
Tangent, Nathan. Took Spanish for 4 years. If you were really stupid or a bit unruly, which I was, you got turfed out of French in the first year and you took Spanish for four. And it was the worst or the dregs of the school. So every year, the poor Spanish teacher, Mr. O'Hanlon, would come on, and like the last week, he'd put his leg on a seat on the table and he'd go, "Right, lads, you've taken the piss for a whole year now. I want next year to buckle down. I've had enough of this shit."
Did you say this in English or Spanish?
In English.
Oh, that's probably the reason.
Well, considering out of a class of 25 people, about three could speak more than two words of Spanish. And that was in the third year. And I always remember around about the fourth year, so 1 year to go, and he said, "I've had enough." And he slammed his head. And at that moment, someone just flicked a ruler at his head. And me and my mate just went, "I don't have much optimism for next year." And anyway, push gang to shove, and it was O-levels. We were the last year of O-levels. Spanish exam was oral over a tape and then writing. And the oral came on.
Let me guess, you were really good at the oral.
No. And I could, all right. And I can remember just 30 heads just going, "What the fuck?" And no one had a clue. Absolutely. So that is, kids, if you're listening, fucking pay attention. I really regret that.
I regret that. We did German, I regret that. We did the same when the tape was played at night. I wish I knew another language.
It'd be well good. And I wish it, Mr. O'Hanlon, if you're alive, I'm sorry. Because we were really, really... He was so disrespectful.
You didn't kill him, did you?
No! But in my school then, it was really odd. There were fights between teachers and kids in the hallway. We had all sorts going on. It wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. Yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, Barcelona would be fun.
It was like the Wicker Man in a teaching environment. Right, on that note, predictions, and I'm just going to go up and ask Will to feel about one thing. Go on, today.
2-1.
We'll ask about Tuesday after today. We'll do quick one after. Today?
Comfortable 2-0. I think we'll keep a clean sheet.
3-1, right. Phil?
Hello? Yeah, hello, yeah.
He's on the phone. This is the moment. Right, you've got to say something profound while he's on the phone.
It's a lot of pressure.
Who's your favourite player in the team right now? Squad. Now you've taken your Herrera poster off the wall.
It wasn't Herrera anyway. It's De Gea, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It'll have to be De Gea, won't it? Which is another one that I'm worried about for contracts. And it's just not... They're not doing it the right way, are they?
But why are they giving Sanchez the money and not him?
Exactly.
Right.
Who's your favourite player in the squad?
Well, it's a theory in reality. You know, I buzzed. Jesus. I think that. Right, Phil, 1 minute.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah.
Juventus and Barcelona. Come on, describe it.
Juventus, probably the most eventful. One of the most eventful 24 hours I think I've ever had watching Manchester United for reasons that some
are censorable and what can you say and what can't you say.
I just think the whole day, I mean, we were there for 3 days in Juventus. Things happened in the day of the game where they tried to ban alcohol and we had a police standoff in a bar where we wouldn't open the door and they had water cannon one end of the street and the other. with a standoff with the Manchester police, and we carried on drinking while we refused to come out. So,
and the game?
The game, went to the game, went, got a tram to the game, ended up at the wrong end. Walked in the game without a ticket. I had a ticket anyway. Ended up in the other end of the ground, obviously in the United end in the end. I think we thought we struggled. Obviously at 2-0 down, we thought we were out. But the realisation, one of the worst things, was I had 2-2 draw at 18-1 at fiver on it. So at 2-2, I was absolutely buzzing. And obviously before the winner yeah. on the night, I was thinking, I've got 90 quid in my pocket, I'm quite happy with this. When we scored the winner, it was just total unbelievable. We full steam ahead, Barcelona has bagged Chelsea for it, and it was. And we had Barcelona booked beforehand anyway, so we knew what we were doing, and that gamble had paid off. And the fact that we'd won and we were playing in the final, one of the best. And then the night we had after, we had a little bit of a fracas after, shall we say. But that's another long story.
I was too drunk. I didn't go out that night. I was that drained from the game.
We excused the escort and decided to make our own way, and it's got to be very regrettable because
they were not happy.
They weren't happy, and we had all sorts of issues, shall we say, which we won't go into now. But we ended up in a couple of bars with all good reds singing the whole night long down the River Po till 6-7 in the morning. With the great late Virgo hugging a tree.
And that's good. Right, so 1 minute from the corner taken at Barcelona. What did it mean to you? How do you sum it up?
I was sat there, and we sat down, if you like, you sat there, having done every game that season, and all the money, time and effort spent, thinking that you could be on the cusp of something famous. You sat there, I was slumped in my seat thinking, do you know what? How can you go from this? Because we'll probably never ever get this chance again.
Yeah.
And I was slumped in my seat thing. I don't know where to get the energy to go again from the following season. Where'd you get the energy to go again? How would you get the energy to go
Call
again?
Me Kev on the podcast. Got any words?
Pogba, go. You're a sideshow.
How'd you get the strength to go again the following season? 30 seconds later, we're in absolute heaven. We're then looking at the clock thinking, oh my God, what's going on here? We'll get to extra time, we're going to beat these. Bang, we got another goal and...
Greatest moment of your life.
It's got to be, hasn't it? I don't think any... You look at the semi-final, you look at the treble season, you look at all the games. You look at the semi-final, probably one of the most eventful 24 hours in my life. The final was the emotion after the game. I don't think you can ever take that away, and you'll never beat it. You can compare it with other things, but...
Can you still remember it all? I can remember
us sat outside a bar in the morning eating breakfast while somebody's climbing a flagpole trying to take the Champions League flag down. Remember that, having breakfast?
There were about 30 of us. Pissed out of our
heads.
Well, Velvet Bar, if I could relive after the game. Velvet Bar. Rob, God bless him.
And Jimmy.
Yeah. If we could live that night again. Anyway, right. And how are you feeling about Tuesday? Any chance?
I would say no, but you never know.
Kev, any chance Tuesday?
Of course we have, just got to be prepared to run at them like we did PSG.
Right.
And not have all the sideshows and the people who don't want to play for the team. The one game in 10 players. Pogba, Marshall.
Cheers, Kev. Right, and I'm just going to, on that note, we're going to end it. Do you know who my favourite is, Nathan? Who I actually... Whether he does it or not, but the one, Martial, who gets me most excited when he's on a ball.
Which I think is, it, like you said the other day when he came on.
He doesn't get me off my seat enough, but he...
Yeah. Sorry, bro. I'd say Rashford's got to be up there as well. I think, obviously,
Well, his improvement, I mean, he has... If you take him a year ago to 2 years, Martial has not, this season, I don't think, improved as much as I hoped he would have.
Yeah.
Just his goal scoring, if he can be devastating.
Yeah.
He could be another Benzema, for me. He really could.
And I just find it funny.
He's still so young.
Yeah, well, both of them are, aren't they? And that's why it's so frustrating when the one down the middle is doing fucking...
Yeah, no.
And I know he's got a few...
Yeah.
What, straight after all they started, it's like you just need so much more, don't you? Especially when you got that much on either
side.
Well,
I think that's
you,
what United's requirement should and always will be. Should always be. We need more than you ever had at your other clubs, and we're not seeing that. All right, cheers, everyone. We'll speak to you after. Right, so we're in a bar that's loud, so we tried to go in the back of it. We're having a nice night out after the win. Sorry about the sound. I know it gets annoys people, but we're not sound engineers. So, right, we've just beaten West Ham 2-1, and that was a very, very, very lucky win. And we're joined by Tom, Nick and Nathan. So, what do you think? I've been told by the United app, well, I haven't got it, you've told me, because I don't have the app, that Pogba was a key influencer. Sorry. That Pogba was a key influencer. Do you agree with that?
I think he started off well. I think first half, I think the thing with Pogba is, if he has a good first 10 minutes, then that decides how he is for the rest of the game. And I think, obviously, he scored the two penalties, but
he took them really well.
He did take that, particularly the second one, he took very well. I think he did well in the first half, but then I don't think anyone really did very well in the second half. I think
it was an awful second half.
Yeah.
I mean, we got out of jail. The play, we didn't think about the balls we were playing. We allowed them to come on to us. I just thought there were a lot of inept performances. What do you make of it, Tom?
I think, well, Pogba did well for the second penalty, but we grinded out a result.
It shows there's so much we've got to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it shows all.
That could have been Moyes, Mourinho, Van Gaal,
it shows all limitations. Yeah, we did not play well.
But we won and we had to win. But I just sort of like Rocco, he's just come back from injury, but
what did you say midway through the second half, which was part in joke, but you asked, but when you said it and you looked at the pitch, it was true. But
there's nobody on that team that is a reliable passer of the ball. Like, if you look at Smalling, he runs forward and gets Jones, Rojo. You know, there isn't anyone in that, so even Pogba, I don't think he's a reliable passer of the ball.
Well, he's the best. He's the one I trust
the most.
But I thought we asked a question, Tom, before, like, who gets you excited in this team? And I was thinking about it. When the game drifts, my mind starts. And I was thinking, that's pretty damning that you're struggling to pick players that really get... De Gea, obviously, another fucking world-class
save. Again. I need to see that again.
Yeah, you get it. It's like Paul.
How did he get that?
It's like his saves are born, really. They are that, like, time and time again he does. And you might say he's at fault for certain goals. But so few players really get us going at the moment.
The header still gets me going, which is great for a keeper.
No, but we're just saying, like, who holds the ball? I mean, I thought Smalling and Jones did well, very well at times. But
except from that
you
header,
can't. Yeah, Jones is. Invisible header, but you can't rely on either of them to start our play, because if you're going to play a system where De Gea kicks it, let a team press straight away, and Fred again, who I thought had a better game, but he gives the ball away.
Yeah. No one gets you going. De Gea's distribution.
Well, who's the most exciting player for you in that squad?
There isn't an exciting player. There are functional players in that team.
See, I say Martial, and he had another, but that run he did.
Martial is a luxury player, not.
They might.
Well, he had two runs, didn't he? He had the chance for going through on goal as well to win the penalty.
But he had that against Barcelona, didn't he? He just seems to hesitate when he's in front of goal.
Lukaku. I mean, I thought when you're taking off a 75 million player who again hasn't had a great game for a kid, which is great, but it's pretty damning about the impact that you expect us to have with 15 minutes to go. I mean,
when you're trying to win a game as well, it's not as if we were like, it's not we were 3-0 up. You know,
his crossing was usually good, but it was fucking diabolical again. But our crossing, it's almost like we've reverted to just put it in the box and hope a bit rather than.
Which is fine if you've got good crosses with the ball.
Get me out of this angst that I just feel like we're coming on and fucking moaning on. It does my head in. I don't want to moan.
The thing is, the squad's not good enough for what you expect us to do. It's not good enough. We don't play good enough in a lot of the games. We've had a couple of really good performances in a row. And obviously, it's all his fault, obviously. He needs a summer to bring his own players in and get rid of the deadwood. But we can't really.
See, I thought he could have made changes earlier. When you know it isn't working, try and mix it up a little bit. If there's one criticism I've had of him in recent weeks, it's trying. And
he was pretty rational. Relatively, you know, he
acted very good as soon as he scored.
Yeah, but the others were 20 minutes to go. We've got Paul singing Cool and the Gang behind us. His basic view is shut the fuck up. We had Steve not there today because he's had a 9-day holiday and he said he's too tired from the flight back. How can you be tired after a holiday?
It's a
half five kickoff. We had a lull in the game where Nick, I was talking, sorry to go on about my disease, but I offer Smints out during the game endlessly because it's good for bringing saliva, to which Nick actually joined in and went, I've been told I have the best saliva a dentist has ever seen. True or false? Whoever has that conversation in the world?
You... Do you want the story?
Quickly, yeah.
I would love the story because I've not heard this.
You go for a 6-month checkup, don't you? So I've gone for a 6-month checkup and the dentist is going through and he's like, checking his teeth. He goes, so, yeah, teeth are very nice, Mr. Barlow. And he's got his dental nurse with him.
What accent was that?
I don't know. But he's like, you know. He's doing, you see, very nice Mr.
Cross. He's eating. He's doing a nice sport.
And he's got his dental nurse with him who's like, you know, using the suction thing to get rid of the saliva in your mouth. And she's got a fucking sweat on. I mean, she's got a sweat on. She's just like, can't keep up with the saliva. And she's misguiding it. Why is saliva firing up?
Danny, you're right. What did you think of today?
Really good time to interrupt.
Basically, John, what did you think of today?
So we're in the Corner Boy. We're listening to early 70s, mid 80s tunes with Martin Buckwich is at absolute peak.
So are we moaning? We're just moaning. We've spent the last 5 minutes moaning.
No, because I remember
what
Martin
Buckwich. No, but now. What do you think?
Today.
Yeah.
Today. I think we're a bit more Mourinho than the Mourinho was now.
Yeah, but your term is Ole's breaks.
No, he's looking to do is hit teams on the break. It's no good.
What, you want to see more?
Yeah, we should be attacking teams in Barcelona.
Yeah, but we can't get it. We're, John, how can we do that when we haven't got...
Yeah, but you play Dalot's left midfield... McTominay, who was really good, right midfield, in front of two defensive fullbacks. You're setting out to defend and hit him on break. Martial's a bench. No good. You're going to be more attacking at home. Too much respect for Barcelona.
Right.
Waterway, I think everyone said, the words that everyone said is disappointed about the performance and Barcelona are not in the East.
Yeah, but today, do you. Right, so where are you right now with Ollie? No.
Honestly, I love him. I love the guy, but the stats don't add up. We look more defensive than ever, but we've scored more goals, created more chances than we have done previously, without doubt.
And we're only 4 months into this.
Yeah. So it's not a problem.
What's that?
So I'm joking about. I'm absolutely joking about the defensive nature of it. But if he carries on too long, then he might not keep all the fans. He needs to get a team, turn it round, have his chance, and go for it.
We just have to be patient. I did think there was a moment in the second half where the old frustrations from the crowd are coming in. And that is sort of understandable, but it's more at the players, really. You know, like, you're, again, putting in this type of display. But you can't.
You needed to get us.
We just have to win. I know we need it, yeah. But that's not down to Ollie. That's down to, again, players not putting their chances. We controlled the end of the first half. I had no idea that second half was coming today. I was all right at half time. That's all right, move on, get the second game
last
over. West Ham didn't look like they'd come out like they did.
Last two home games we played, West Ham, who were useless away from home. Watford played United off a park.
Well, last home
Watford
game
was a house.
Yeah, we haven't played well, Paris, apart for quite a while now. But that's because...
And that good run of games under Ollie, they're all on the break or get a goal in defence. So, I want to see a United side that starts attacking and bullies teams. We're not bullying teams.
Yeah, but we don't have bullies. Right, that's reminding me. What pissed me off, West Ham scored and we had four of our players go to the ref pointing that the West Ham players had the fucking ball. One of you, Rocco, did it in the end. Have them just fucking start a kicker. It'll get the crowd going anyway. Get the ball yourself. We've got so many soft asses and I mean, you know, we're talking. I started, this is on me, that's bad. Yeah. I started on Pogba. You know, my first question, why should it be on Pogba? He has actually delivered today because the two things he had to do, he's done. Mata was terrible. Again.
Mata looked lightweight. The only positive, and a lot of people argue with this one with me, is if you buy a player for, was it 50 million? His name's Fred.
Yeah.
You've got to give us sooner or later the lad a chance. He's had two games of the choice played him. So you give him a run of six or seven games. He's got all the skill, all the class. The problem is he looks lightweight.
And he gives the ball away.
Gets knocked off the ball. Well, at least let us see him. Let us have a look at him. Let us see him for six games.
I think Ollie is almost giving the string to the players to say...
Why not?
No, but he's giving them the rope to say, you'll either sink or swim now.
Yeah,
and
this
fuck
is your
it, whether we
now.
Get four...
From now to the end of the season, we'll play you. And I'm happy with that. You know, there's loads of players we've had. And we've been given one game here or there, and we've never seen them. So he was brilliant at Shakhtar Donetsk, absolutely brilliant. So give him a chance. Let's see what. And he did play right against Barcelona, and there were some moments today where he puts a killer ball.
Here's
in,
a question:
but he's lightweight.
Who gets you excited in that team?
Every time it's Martial. But he had a stinker today.
I say I agree. But
Martial's the player for me every time, and that's what upset me on the Wednesday night against Barcelona. He's got like Young and Shaw playing fullbacks, and in front of that he's got Dalot and McTominay.
But he wanted to protect. But you've got it. It's Barcelona, you know. I know what you're saying, but
they're not.
I try and be contrary on this because I'm trying to think, not, but just are we being too hard? We're constantly at our own team at the moment.
Yeah.
We are. Yeah. We're constantly slagging them. We're constantly slating them.
So, this week I've got loads of mates who are City fans from Stockport who absolutely were bitching about the performance at Spurs. But if you weren't moaning about your team or discussing your team, it's dull.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to talk about your team. And come up with opinions. If it was like all perfect, it'd be very, very dull. Very dull.
I remember, and that's a good point because we played. I did something with Mondial Mag about Arsenal. You know, the battle with Arsenal in the 90s. And I remember, I think it was 2000 or 2001, when we won it three times on the bounce. We played Watford in April, and we won 2-0, and it was a really dull game. And we won that league by 18
January.
Points.
And we probably won the league in January.
And
it's
I remember
over.
Everyone in the pub going, well, this is a bit shit. And,
yeah,
what would you do
for
an 18-point
yeah.
league title
right.
win?
Yeah.
Right, sorry, John. Right, no, final words. You're going Tuesday. What do you think?
I think we've had
another Paris.
We've had the Paris marvel. That was it. Been there, done that. It's up there. It's one of those games where you'll remember it forever. They'll go, were you there that day? And I'm going, yeah, don't know how it happens. It's not happening in Barcelona, I'm afraid. Sorry,
lads. It will. Right, Nick, finish off your mouth all the story.
All right, yeah. So the dental nurse is there and she's going at it. You know, with the thing that sucks your saliva out?
This is the tenor.
And she's having a real hard time of it. She's just like, she's getting it wrong. She's learning. But it's just saliva just going everywhere, all over her and all over the dentist. And I'm sat there chuckling, trying to contain it.
At the end of it,
she stopped, and the dentist went, he's like, "Mr. Bowley, you got very nice teeth, but you have the most saliva in your mouth I have ever seen." It's a guy who sees 20 people a day.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure. He wasn't at the dentist, was he? He wasn't at the dentist. He'd gone somewhere else.
I need to go wherever that was.
Right, so, and finally, what's your quiz question?
Oh, so we've got a question for you, Barney.
Yeah.
Nick's got the stats.
You ready?
Go on.
Whose career is this? Played for Nantes, then moved to Manchester United, then moved to Aston Villa, moved to Burnley on loan, then went to Qatar SC, then to OB Denmark, then to Hapoel Tel Aviv, Partizan Belgrade, St Mirren, Chennai, the Sabaya.
I do know this.
A couple of French teams who were completely insignificant.
How many teams is that? Not 10 countries, I think.
He played in 10 countries.
Not Mads Tim.
No.
Right. I know, I will. It's of that era, isn't it? It's about 15 yes. years ago.
Yes.
Right.
If anyone answers on a postcard.
All right, and now we're going to end actually on Record Store Day with a bit of music.
With Martin Buchan.
They're a Manchester band. He's a top bred.
The Bee Gees.
It's not the Bee Gees. We're actually going to play Black Sonic Revolver, who go to all the games. He's a brilliant lad, Leon. And this is their song that they've allowed us to use. Cheers.
And Nick, don't forget to vote for us for the podcast awards if you like us. I'll get Barney to send a link out on Twitter.
Right. Cheers, lads. Come on.